We are now in the longest government shutdown for the United States. I have some updates from the tax court and the IRS that I would like to share with you.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
To begin with, the United States Tax Court has had several updates on their website. They started out being shut down on Friday, December 28, 2018 at 11:59 p.m. and remaining closed until further notice. Now, trial sessions scheduled on the weeks of January 7 and January 14 proceeded as scheduled. Since then, they have canceled the weeks of January 28 and February 4. Currently posted on the tax court website that there will be a decision regarding the February 11, 2019 trial sessions that will be made by the tax court and posted on their website on or before January 25, so roughly 17 days before. Now, I have tax court for clients scheduled on February 25 and March 11. So I am extrapolating that if there will be a decision made about those calendar call trial sessions, that those will be made and posted on the tax court website on or before 17 days before those trial sessions. So right now there is a skip week, the week of February 18, but then those future tax court calendar calls and trial sessions, whether those will be announced or not, or affected or not, that remains to be seen. Now, Caleb Smith posted a review of past tax court cases that were affected by previous government shutdowns. He posted on procedurally taxing January 15, 2019 on those with his review. Now, some of the conclusions he came to were that for a tax court trial session that meets often in a city such as Los Angeles, then it is likely that the judge will continue those cases to the next trial session that is scheduled. But for cities where the tax court will appear once or twice a year, one thing the judges may do is not grant a continuance and advise the parties to continue negotiating up to the trial session, hear what the parties have to say at the calendar call, and then decide whether to continue the case or not. Basically, encouraging the parties to continue negotiating up until that point. So this makes it tricky to determine whether, at this point, tax court cases that are on the schedule that are currently affected by the government shutdown, whether they will be granted continuances for the sessions after the shutdown is over. It will be a wait and see time to determine whether tax court cases are going to continue any during the shutdown at all, or whether more will be scheduled. We just have to see how long the government shutdown will be. Now, one person posted about the cancellation of a case scheduled for February 4th. This person stated they received an order canceling the February 4 trial session, indicating that a new trial date will be set that provides at least 60 days advance notice of the new trial date. Now, I'm going to start with some information from tax notes that the IRS is expecting roughly 6 in 10 of its employees to work unpaid during the filing season during the government shutdown, that they released their updated lapsed appropriations contingency plan on January 15. So the projection is that 46,052 of the IRS's 80,265 employees, which is 57.4%, they will resume their duties after official notification of the plan's implementation is received from Treasury. Now, the new planned employment total was not far off of an estimate of 45,000 unpaid IRS workers made in a statement January 14 by National Treasury Employees Union President Tony Reardon. Following the release of the updated plan, Bob Kamen posted in Procedurally Taxing on January 16, and that was an update of his December 27, 2018 post. So he went through some highlights of the updated contingency plan. That Category A3 workers include activities necessary for the payment of refunds, including processing electronic returns through issuance of refunds, processing paper refund tax returns through issuance of refunds, and processing 1040X amended refund returns adjustments, including carrybacks, amended returns, duplicate filed returns, correspondence, injured spouse claims, disaster claims, F-843 claim for refund, and request for abatement in support of issuing refunds. He says those are part of the activities that are necessary. Here are some examples of work that is not: non-automated collections, legal counsel, taxpayer services such as responding to taxpayer questions, call sites, but only during non-filing season. During tax season, they hope to operate. And all audit functions, examination of returns, and processing of non-electronic tax returns that do not include remittances. Turning to Chief Counsel, Chief Counsel's primary responsibility during a lapse is to manage pending litigation, the time-sensitive filing of motions, briefs, answers, and other pleadings related to the protection of the government's material interests. Due to counsel's separate litigation function, the number of accepted counsel positions will not align with accepted activities authorized in other IRS business units. Counsel's plan assumes that the federal and district courts will be open and that litigation will continue uninterrupted. The plan accepts, on an as-needed basis, those personnel assigned to litigation that is scheduled for trial or where there is a court-imposed deadline during the first 5 days of a lapse. Personnel are not generally accepted to perform litigation activities where a trial or other court-imposed deadline is scheduled more than 5 days after the start of the lapse. Personnel assigned to those cases should seek continuances as part of an orderly shutdown. If a continuance is denied, the case will be reviewed to determine if work on the case may be accepted. Chief Counsel personnel are also accepted on an as-needed basis to provide required legal advice necessary to protect statute expiration and the government's interest in bankruptcy, lien, and seizure cases. Within the Taxpayer Advocate Service, there is an increase from 1 to 2 accepted Category B employees allowed in each local office. The local taxpayer advocate and either a group manager or a lead case advocate. Their jobs are check mail to comply with the IRS's requirement to open and process checks during a shutdown, while also complying with the statutory requirements that Taxpayer Advocate Service maintain confidential and separate communications with taxpayers, and that the Taxpayer Advocate Service operate independently of any other IRS office. Also, to screen the mail for incoming requests for taxpayer assistance orders and notify the appropriate business unit that a request has been made, tolling any statute of limitations. We can look at this and determine that they are not going to be answering phones or working cases during the meantime. Now I'm going to look at the Small Business and Self-Employed Department and some other miscellaneous sections within the IRS. Within Small Business and Self-Employed, 2,614 of the 2,938 Category B employees are in collection, and another 264 are in examination. Most are collection representatives that carry out revenue protection activities that include responding to taxpayers who have received a collection notice through the automated collection system and clarifying the payment process, assisting taxpayers with setting up installment agreements for tax payments, assisting taxpayers with general collection processes. They serve as the gateway for transferring taxpayers to accounts management for appropriate filing season inquiries, and providing assistance with releasing levies and liens as required by law. So this means that they can be contacted, but they won't be contacting the taxpayers or their representatives. In examination, they will be protecting statute expiration and assessment activities, bankruptcy, or other revenue-generating issues. It will open incoming mail to identify documents required to be processed to protect the government's interest during a shutdown. It will complete computer operations required to determine necessary actions, prevent data loss, and route documents associated with imminent statutes. Now, one question that Bob asked is, would you take a temporary job with the IRS in January with the hope of being paid in April? That will make a difference for many temporary workers who are deciding whether to work with the IRS and just how full their workforce will be during the tax season. Within the wage and investment, refundable credits, policy and program management, working on pre-refund case selection to protect improper payments from being released to ineligible taxpayers, and perfect refunds to verify the refund is appropriate, that group is 51 workers. Bob compared that with the 469 needed for the IVES and RAIVS programs. IVES provides express return transcript, W-2 transcript, and 1099 transcript delivery services to mortgage lenders and others within the financial community to confirm the income of a borrower during the processing of a loan application. RAIVS services taxpayer request for a copy of the tax return. Now, the directives under the contingency plan update aren't any different from the original contingency plan for appeals. They're required to have a technical staff remain active to ensure statutory deadlines are met. Taxpayer compliance cases, when appealed, must be adjudicated within a statutory timeline that is not under the control of the IRS. Cases must be monitored to ensure statutes will not lapse. Failure to monitor statutes may result in adverse impacts to the IRS and U.S. government tax collection functions. During a lapse, the Chief of Appeals will hold a daily virtual meeting with accepted personnel to identify any imminent statutory deadlines or other threats to government property. As necessary, accepted personnel will be activated to take actions that address the imminent threat. All other employees will return to furlough status until the following day. Turning to specialty collection in offer and compromise, they are to address completing offer and compromise process ability and payment deposits on centralized offers and compromise, offers with remittances, and assist with the protection of statute expiration or assessment activities or other revenue generating issues, and to ensure or oversee shutdown of operations. Now, overall, looking at the updated contingency plan, right now we do not know when that will be implemented for the workers who are processing tax returns and refunds during the tax season, and what this means for everyone else, since the IRS is only partially staffed during the tax season, what to do about communicating with them and negotiating on anything else related to tax issues, that remains to be seen. But turning to other news related to the IRS, that a bill was signed into law this week that the federal government employees will get their back pay after the shutdown is over. There was an article in USA Today that the IRS is raising their interest rates for those who have not paid off their tax liabilities from 4% to 5% annually with daily compounding. So to put that into context, owing the IRS $10,000 means a person would expect to pay about $1.37 in interest charges
daily
while the debt is outstanding. So no real good news during the government shutdown at this point, but I wanted to let you know about things that will be affecting you related to the IRS and tax controversy cases during this time. So hopefully the shutdown will be ending before long. But at this point, we have come to the longest United States government shutdown with furloughed employees. Hopefully it will end soon and things will get back to normal. and the backlog within the IRS will not be too large. So have a great day, and thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.